9, I am only a dry tree, for this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 968 of the Pew Bibles. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord.
The title of this morning's service, although you probably don't know this, is All Saints. All Saints Day was last Friday. It may have passed you by. What does it mean to you? If you're like me, very little. Something to do with saints. Well, the first problem we have is that most of us aren't entirely sure who the saints are. All Saints Day, or All Hallows Day, comes immediately after All Hallows Eve, or Halloween. So we do know that this is an important event in our national calendar. It's one of our three or four most important holidays. But we may think that the fact that it's to do with witches and cauldrons probably doesn't mean it's very significant in the church calendar rather than the national calendar. Who are saints? Are they remotely of any interest or relevance to us today? The Oxford English Dictionary definition of a saint is a person acknowledged as holy or virtuous and regarded in the Christian faith as being in heaven after death. That may not help you a great deal as to who they are. Saints in Anglican or Catholic church teaching are important figures, perhaps rather distant to us today. The core group of the saints are the apostles, but there are many others in church history. I don't know if you've ever walked past on your way down to have a cup of coffee in the Pantiles, the Church of St. Charles the Martyr. I've often wondered why on earth it's called the Church of St. Charles the Martyr. The answer is because Charles I was the last person to be canonized by the Church of England after the English Reformation. He is the last Anglican saint. And the practice grew up and still persists in Catholicism of canonizing or venerating particularly devout individuals, often martyrs, from the past. How does that bear on All Saints Day? Well, some of the saints were given their own particular day in the church calendar, and All Saints Day is effectively for the rest. It's for all the other saints who don't have a particular day of their own. One of the most frequent ways in which we encounter saints is in the names which we give to our churches. This parish, St. Peter and St. Paul, so on and so forth. Mostly the apostles. What about St. Saviour? Is that a theological mix-up? No. It's a mistranslation of the Latin phrase Sanctus Salvatori, meaning Holy Saviour. So it's really Holy Saviour or Saint Saviour, same applying to St. Mary's. What else do we know about saints? Well, it's, I think, a universally accepted truth that St. Patrick is the most important saint. And conversely, bearing in mind the rugby, that St. George is the least important saint. Did you know that if you are English, you share your patron saint with three other countries? Ethiopia, Georgia, and Catalonia. That's not quite a country, but they are trying to be a country. Anyway, probably least said, soonest mended about the World Cup and all that. Who really cares about the saints in the back end of 2019? Is it just rigmarole for the masses? A throwback to the past? Religion is opium for the people? Going along with relics and stained glass windows and very large organs, all the rest of it. Why should we care about All Saints Day at all? Well, let's just go back to that dictionary definition of saints. Holy and virtuous people believed to be in heaven after death. In other words, people who have inherited the kingdom of heaven. People who are in the kingdom of heaven. Now let's just draw in the New Testament reading from this morning. Matthew chapter 5, one of the best known passages in the Gospels, the Beatitudes, the beautiful sayings of Jesus as he began his ministry. Set the scene. Jesus, taking the disciples away from the crowds, He began to teach them. What was he teaching them about? Go back to Matthew chapter 4. From that time on, verse 17, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." So he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. And as he walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he met four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. And he called them to follow him and to be fishers of men. So they knew that he was talking about the kingdom of heaven. And he knew that he was they knew that he was calling them to be fishers of men. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. What were the disciples expecting? They'd probably begun to conceive the idea that he may have been the Messiah. This is very early on, remember, in their encounter with him. They knew that he was teaching the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the kingdom. What would that have meant to four fishermen from Galilee, living under Roman occupation, thinking about the prophecies, if they were devout enough to think about those things, and all the promises of the Messiah and how the messianic reign would come? What he was talking about, what Jesus was preaching about, sounded suspiciously like the messianic kingdom coming. And what a terrible shock it must have been when he pulled them to one side and began to teach them about the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Not many qualities there for establishing an earthly kingdom. Meekness, merciful, peacemakers. They must have felt themselves persecuted, living under occupation. Even talk of the hungry, the thirsty, the bereaved. Hard to take all of that in. Perhaps didn't sound like much of a kingdom to them. What was Jesus trying to teach them? That to enter the kingdom of heaven, they had to think very differently. Not an earthly kingdom at all. In fact, a radical challenge to their ideas of what would be their salvation. Is there a similar radical challenge for us in the Beatitudes? It's not quite a parallel to the saints and the question of people who have inherited the kingdom of heaven, who are already in the kingdom of heaven. But they're not the role models that we would expect in Matthew chapter 5. Because here we have the Lord, and at the beginning of his ministry, so the headlines, the top of his list of priorities, The people whom God is on the side of are the poor, the bereaved, the meek, the hungry and the thirsty, the merciful, the pure, in other words, those who cannot be corrupted, the peacemakers and the persecuted. What is important to God? Who is important to God? Those are the people that Jesus identifies at the very beginning of his teaching, who will be made acceptable to come into the kingdom. I'm not trying to say anything controversial before we depart and continue with our Sunday. But one doesn't want to wash away either the plain meaning of the words. Not preaching at you. This is a communal exercise. Drawing together around God's word. Feeling the heat of the sun together. We may not understand all of the meaning of each of the couplets in the Beatitudes. But the process of letting those couplets percolate through our minds in the course of this week and as we move forward will, you may think, undoubtedly improve the practice of our faith. Because they are, without doubt, glimpses, probably more than glimpses, of God's priorities in terms of the people that he wants to help and deliver. The people on the list. And if we are faithful followers, if we mean what we sing and we mean what we pray, then we have to share those priorities. That's the challenge for us all. The comfort for those of us who are always on a journey towards faith and discipleship, for whom the business of heaven is always unfinished, is still also in the words of Matthew chapter 5. Some of the people in whom God is most interested, in whom Jesus is most interested, are the poor in spirit. And that little phrase, the hungry, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because implicit in that phrase is the fact that they still have not attained it. They are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. So there is both a challenge to us, I suggest to you, in Matthew chapter 5, and also a comfort. Because the whole purpose of the passage, the whole theme, as we see when we read the other half of the couplets, is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth. They will be shown mercy. Is that not our belief about our salvation? They will see God. They will be called the children of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So maybe there is more to learn from the saints than we thought. If they're a group of people who are in the kingdom of heaven, and Matthew chapter 5 is also about people who are going to the kingdom of heaven, then that is the challenge for us and the comfort for us in the Beatitudes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the beauty of those expressions in Matthew chapter 5 of some of your core thoughts and priorities. And we pray that you would help us to share in those with you as we live our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.